Peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to talk to you about a certain creature, a creature that you don't see on the seminary campus very often, but they're out there. We know this creature as an unbeliever, you know, someone who does not have faith in Jesus Christ. You might not see them very much around here, but we do like to talk about them. We like to try to get inside their mind and figure out how best we can get them into our churches. We ask theological questions such as, why does God choose to save some and others are not saved? The unbeliever, an interesting creature and fascinating to talk about. I encountered one of them recently. I was on an airplane flight and the lady sitting next to me, her name was Sherry. She was reading a brochure about New Age spirituality. And I was curious, so I asked her to tell me a bit about her religious beliefs. And she told me that she actually attends a Christian church, but she's not a Christian. She just goes there so that her kids can have a nice place to learn morals and values. But the Jesus stuff, she said, not really for her. Besides, she said, Christians are too judgmental. Who wants to be a part of something where people are judgmental? The unbeliever, an interesting creature, and fascinating to talk about. That's probably the same kind of thought the disciples had as they encountered this blind man today. They might have even been standing within earshot of him as they're asking Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? Was it this man? Was it his parents that he was born blind? Because they thought that this blindness was punishment from God for something this man had done wrong, or that his family had done wrong. But Jesus quickly pushes that aside and says, no, it wasn't because he did something wrong, but this happened in his life so that the power of God would be revealed in his life. And at that, Jesus approaches the man and he spits in the dirt before him. He scoops some up as mud, smears it across the man's eyes. And he tells him to go wash in the pool. And so the man does. And his life is changed. He can see. He can see the trees. He can see the snow. Oh, wait, no, not over there. Just here. He can see the ground. He can see the water in front of him. He can see people. He can see it all. Everything. Except for what he really wants to see. The one who had healed him. He's not there anymore. But the blind man sees it all. He sees the Pharisees shaking their fingers at him, saying, this man who healed you, he's a sinner. He healed on the Sabbath. The blind man, not blind anymore, sees it all. He sees his parents shrugging, saying, how this happened, who this man is who healed him, we don't know. But that's our son. He sees the Pharisees, their faces turning red, getting angry, saying, how dare you lecture us? We are students of Moses. We are highly trained in theology. Don't tell us that some mystery man who healed you is from God. We know better than that. And they told him, get out. And so there he is by himself as Jesus returns. And in the midst of a world of unbelief that this man now sees, Jesus asks him a question of belief. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man replies, well, who is he? And Jesus says, the one speaking to you, that's who it is. And the blind man, now seeing, and now seeing with eyes of faith, falls before Jesus and worships him. By his word, Jesus has worked something even greater than giving physical sight. Most everybody can see, but not everyone can see Jesus. What a contrast. What a contrast between the words of Christ which bring healing and restoration and the words of, I would say, the disciples, and I would say the Pharisees, but let's just be honest. What a contrast between Christ's words and our words. I'm just as bad as anyone. You know, The lady on the airplane, Sherry, said, "Christians can be too judgmental." Yeah, I can be that Christian. I can be the guy who holds that unbelieving world at a distance and can stand back and say, "Don't steal and don't lie and don't mess around and don't do this, and God doesn't like that." And meanwhile, I'm ignoring my own sins that are piled high to the ceiling. Or maybe even more tragic than the things we say are the things that we don't say. When we have an opportunity to share words of encouragement and words of hope and even the saving word of the gospel with the people in our lives. I'm not just talking about random meetings with people on airplanes. I'm talking about family and friends, people that we know. And when given the opportunity to speak, too often we are silent. But praise God that even though our words are so often lacking, He is faithful. He's faithful in speaking His word to us. He's done so at our baptism, where by His word He's given us the eyes of faith so that we can see our Savior dying on the cross, taking the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, on Him. Praise God that He's given us the eyes of faith so that we can see our Savior risen from the dead in victory, a victory that you and I share in. And praise God that that work of opening the eyes of the blind did not end only back in the Bible times, but it continues even today. For World Religion class, which I took a couple of quarters ago, I interviewed a man for a paper. His name was Kareem. Kareem was a Muslim who came from Morocco to the United States 2 decades ago. And he began to work at a restaurant when he got here, and he met a girl named Susie, and they fell in love and decided they wanted to get married. So Susie takes Kareem home to meet her mother. Her mother's name is Edna. Edna is a lifelong Missouri Synod Lutheran. So let me just recap. Girl brings Muslim boyfriend home to meet Missouri Synod mother. How do you think that went over? Edna, the mother, is faced with the decision. Is she encountering one of those creatures? You know, those unbelievers, those people? Or is she coming face to face with a real person? Someone with a history and a story and a family and someone with a real need to hear of the love of Jesus Christ. And so as Edna is presented with the news that they want to get married, she responds in a very gentle, loving way, "I don't think so." No. No, try again. But she said, "Kareem, I'd like for you to come to church with us and to learn about our faith and learn what we believe." And Kareem reluctantly agreed. He told me in the interview he really wasn't interested in Christianity. He thought Christianity was a weak religion. He said, "If I've sinned, if I messed up before God, that's my responsibility. I don't need some middleman, Jesus. I don't need His charity. It's my sin. I should make up for it before God." But over time, he studied God's word. He read the Bible. He learned from Susie and Edna. And he told me that his heart became changed as he studied the word. That he was convicted of the depth of his sin, not just that he was a sinner, but that it was so deep and so bad that he could not fix it on his own, and that he did need a Savior. And that Savior was this man, Jesus, who died on the cross for the whole world. And the way Kareem said it to me, he said, "God's word was bigger than me. God's word was bigger than me." And eventually, Kareem came to faith and he was baptized. And a week later, he and Susie were married. And he told me that since that time, he's been telling a lot of people about Jesus. He's a pastor now in Texas, spreading the gospel among many people, including his own family. He said that out of 9 brothers and sisters, he shared the gospel with all of them, and 7 of those 9 have come to faith and been baptized as a result of his witness, the power of the word, the Holy Spirit at work there. Because the word has that kind of power. It can change hearts and can open the eyes of the blind. And that's why we're here at the seminary, to be filled up with that word and prepared to take that word out into a world of unbelief. Because we are the eyes. We are the eyes that see Jesus in the midst of a world of unbelief. And that's why we're here in chapel today, because God's word is here and it's going to do something in our hearts. And we're here because we believe in this truth, that the work of God is still ongoing in this world, and that Jesus is still opening the eyes of the blind. Amen.